San Discotus Cast. On May 27, 2008, the Supreme Court decided CBOCS West Incorporated versus Humphreys, in holding that employees may bring race retaliation claims under 42 U.S.C. 1981. In this episode of Scotus Cast, Ray Van, General Counsel for the Equal Employment Advisory Council, discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Van.
The U.S. Supreme Court this week handed down two important employment law rulings dealing with unlawful retaliation, one of which directly impacts private sector employers. In CBOCS West versus Humphreys, the High Court ruled 7-2 that employees can sue their employers for retaliation under Section 1981 of the Civil Rights Act of 1866, despite the fact that the statute does not contain language expressly authorizing such claims. In the other case, Gomez-Perez versus Potter, the court held 6-3 that federal workers may bring valid retaliation claims under the Age Discrimination in Employment Act, even though the section of the law applying to federal sector employers does not contain an anti-retaliation provision, as does the part of the ADEA that applies to private sector employers. This ruling has no direct impact on private sector employers, however. In contrast, Section 1981 is a civil rights era law prohibiting discrimination in contracting that has been interpreted to permit employment-related race discrimination lawsuits against private employers. Among other things, and unlike Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, there is no cap on the monetary damages that can be awarded under Section 1981, and a plaintiff can go directly to court without first having to file an administrative charge with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Because most lower federal courts to have addressed the issue already had read a retaliation cause of action into Section 1981. Indeed, the High Court in CBOCS West was reviewing a decision by the Seventh Circuit to that effect. The practical impact of the Supreme Court's decision in that case on private employers remains to be seen. At minimum, since plaintiffs in race discrimination cases now know with certainty that there's a viable alternative to filing a Title VII retaliation lawsuit, they may simply choose to bypass Title VII altogether. By way of background, the CBOX West case involved an employee who worked for Cracker Barrel as an associate manager in its Bradley, Illinois store. In the last several months of his employment, Mr. Humphreys, the plaintiff, received 9 written and verbal warnings regarding deficient work performance, the last 3 of which, issued in September of 2001, indicated that they were final warnings. In November 2001, Mr. Humphreys complained to a supervisor that he and another employee, who had recently been terminated by the company, were treated unfairly on the basis of race. Humphreys was fired several weeks later after having left the store safe unlocked in violation of company policy. He sued Cracker Barrel in federal court, claiming that he had been terminated because of his race and also in retaliation for having opposed discriminatory employment practices in violation of Title VII as well as Section 1981. The trial court ruled for Cracker Barrel. On Humphrey's appeal, the Seventh Circuit affirmed the dismissal of Humphrey's Title VII claims, but reversed on the Section 1981 claim. The court reasoned that Section 1981's plain language, coupled with the legislative history of the Civil Rights Act of 1991, which, among other things, amended Section 1981 to broaden its scope, although not specifically to recognize retaliation claims, nevertheless supported the conclusion that retaliation causes of action are available under Section 1981. The Supreme Court subsequently agreed to review the case, looking specifically at the question of whether Section 1981 authorizes a cause of action for unlawful retaliation. In a 7-2 decision earlier this week, the Supreme Court ruled that Section 1981 does in fact allow for claims of retaliation. And in so ruling, the court relied heavily on the doctrine of stare decisis, which literally means to stand by things decided. The majority concluded that based on prior decisions in which the court had already recognized the retaliation cause of action under similar statutes that similarly did not contain express anti-retaliation provisions, that it should follow suit here by permitting such claims to be brought under Section 1981. Writing for the majority, Justice Breyer points out that nearly 40 years ago, in the case of Sullivan v. Little Hunting Park, the court considered whether Section 1982 of the Civil Rights Act of 1866 could be invoked by a plaintiff who was denied the right to assign his membership share in a property association to his African-American lessee. While the plaintiff, who was white, was not directly discriminated against because of race, he was acting in the interest of his African-American lessee, whose rights were being denied due to race. Justice Breyer observed that the High Court in Sullivan concluded that the plaintiff could proceed with a retaliation action under Section 1982 because allowing the defendant's actions to go unpunished, quote-unquote, would give impetus to the perpetuation of racial restrictions on property. In addition, he said, the Supreme Court just a few years ago in the Jackson case, Jackson versus Birmingham Board of Education, reaffirmed that Sullivan held that Section 1982's general prohibition against race discrimination also encompasses claims of unlawful retaliation. In view of the fact that the court has long interpreted Section 1981 and Section 1982 in similar ways, given their quote-unquote common language origin and purposes, it should come as no surprise, Justice Breyer continued, that every federal appellate court to have considered the issue has in fact recognized retaliation as a viable cause of action under Section 1981. Acknowledging, however, that Section 1981 contains no actual language creating a retaliation cause of action, Justice Breyer nevertheless concluded that that is not enough to compel a different result given the court's long-standing interpretation of Section 1982. In addition, simply because Congress failed to include a provision expressly prohibiting retaliation when it amended Section 1981 in 1991, does not on its own suggest it clearly intended the statute not to apply to retaliation claims. The court also summarily dismissed the argument that Cracker Barrel made that allowing retaliation claims under Section 1981 would permit plaintiffs to bypass Title VII's administrative enforcement scheme, which is designed to resolve disputes before they escalate into litigation. According to the court, any overlap that exists between the two laws is necessary, especially in order to preserve the right of plaintiffs who claim retaliation with respect to non-employment-related contracts. Dissenting, Justice Clarence Thomas, who was joined by Justice Antonin Scalia, argued that the court's decision has no basis in the statutory language of Section 1981. He pointed out that on its face, Section 1981 clearly prohibits race-based discrimination in the making and enforcement of contracts, and that retaliation is not discrimination because of race. He went on to chastise the majority for relying so heavily on Sullivan and Jackson, a case in which he also dissented, suggesting that the court's characterization of Sullivan and the Jackson case simply was wrong and this should not have been followed here. In the Gomez-Perez versus Potter case, the question before the court was whether a federal employee can sue for retaliation under the ADEA, even though the federal sector provisions of that statute, unlike the private sector provisions, do not contain an anti-retaliation clause. The lower courts had dismissed the plaintiff's retaliation claim on that basis. Writing for the 6-3 majority, Justice Samuel Alito concedes that the federal sector ADEA provisions at issue do not expressly contain a retaliation provision. Nevertheless, the court pointed out that its earlier decisions in Sullivan and Jackson also controlled in this case and concluded that federal employees can sue for retaliation under the ADEA. If nothing else, these cases clearly demonstrate that attempting to put labels on the current Supreme Court, such as conservative or liberal, or pro or anti-business, is a risky proposition. Certainly, the expectation was that with the appointments of the Chief Justice and Associate Justice Alito, these rulings would have gone the other way, especially since both cases involve matters of strict statutory interpretation, where quote-unquote conservatives arguably would not be willing to read language into the law that was not already there. As the CBOCS West and Gomez-Perez decisions demonstrate, however, the employer community would be wise to adjust its future expectations accordingly. From a practical standpoint, while the Gomez-Perez ruling will not have any direct impact on private sector retaliations brought under the ADEA, the court's decision in the CBOCS West case involving a private sector employment discrimination claim certainly will have an impact. While the lower federal courts already largely have recognized such a claim under Section 1981, the Supreme Court's imprimatur in CBOCS West arguably clears whatever remaining concerns there may have been for not bringing a Section 1981 retaliation claim previously.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.